Today is the fourth Sunday of Lent. It is also known as Laetare Sunday. It is also Vocation Sunday, and I ask that you please remember to offer your Mass and Holy Communion for more vocations to the priesthood and religious life, and join us in the prayers after Mass today. Tickets are available for our annual $10,000 raffle. Tickets sell for $100 each. And there is a $1,000 prize for the one who sells the winning ticket. The drawing will be held on Holy Saturday, April 23rd, and this is not too far away. And the number of tickets sold right now are quite low, so please spread the word to your relatives, friends, and coworkers about this great chance of winning a good amount of money. Please see Pat Fonts for more information about that. Lenten dinners will be held next Friday and on April 15th. Please call Teresa Brockman if you can help out. St. Pius V School will hold its spring play, The Devil and Daniel Webster, next Sunday, April 10th, and Monday, April 11th at 7:30 p.m. And it will be held at the Sweet Hollow Hall in Melville. The price is $7 per ticket or $25 per family. Please come to the play and support the school and the students. The registration deadline for the women's retreat is April 19th. Please contact the novitiate in Round Top as soon as you can if you are planning to attend. Also, the following St. Pius V students, school students, have excelled in contests over the past couple of months. And at the National Management Association Oratorical Contest in New Jersey, Caitlin Kennedy won second place, and Joanna Marone won third place for their speeches. Brendan Clark qualified and completed for the state level of the National Geography Bee in Albany. Also, there are order forms for the Easter chocolate in the back of the chapel. Finally, I'd just like to mention that we owe everything here to Bishop Kelly. He founded this chapel. He founded St. Pius V School with the help of Mr. and Mrs. Mallon. He founded the Congregation of the Daughters of Mary, and he started Immaculate Heart Seminary and founded the Congregation of St. Pius V for the new priests ordained. In thinking of the future of our souls, Bishop Kelly ordained Bishop Sante to the Holy Priesthood 10 years ago and consecrated him a bishop in February 2007. And in honor of Bishop Sante's ordination to the Holy Priesthood, there will be a High Mass offered here at the chapel on Wednesday, May 4th at 5 p.m., and following the ceremony, there will be a dinner at the Millridge Inn at 7:30 p.m. And in order to reserve the Millridge Inn, we must have about 200 guests. So please sign up today in the vestibule or at the Guardian Angel gift shop. And payment is not due until April 17th, but we do need to let the reception hall know how many will be attending as soon as possible. And your presence at the Mass and dinner is a very great way to show your appreciation to Bishop Kelly and Bishop Sante for everything they have done and continue to do for our parish. And finally, a longtime parishioner of St. Pius V, Tony Bianco, passed away in Pennsylvania on March 26th. So please join me now in praying for the repose of his soul.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost.
As well as the beginning,
eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
The epistle appointed to be read for the fourth Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise, which things are said by an allegory. For these are the two testaments, the one from Mount Sinai, engendering unto bondage, which is Agar, for Sinai is a mountain in Arabia, which hath affinity to that Jerusalem which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But that Jerusalem which is above is free, which is our mother. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not. Break forth and cry, thou that travailest not. For many are the children of the desolate, more than of her that hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born according to the flesh persecuted him that was after the Spirit, so also it is now. But what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, by the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free. In the Holy Gospel, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. At that time Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is that of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw the miracles which he did on them that were diseased. Jesus therefore went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Pasch, the festival day of the Jews, was near at hand. When Jesus, therefore, had lifted up his eyes, and seen that a very great multitude cometh to him, he said to Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to try him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, saith to him, There is a boy here that hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? Then Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. The men therefore sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, lest they be lost. They gathered up, therefore, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above to them that had eaten. Now those men, when they had seen what a miracle Jesus had done, said, This is of a truth the prophet that is to come into the world. Jesus, therefore, when he knew that they would come to take him by force and make him king, fled again into the mountain himself alone. As for the words of the Holy Gospel. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to them that were set down, in like manner also of the fishes, as much as they would. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Around 900 BC, there lived the prophet Elias. He is the prophet of the Old Testament who was taken up into heaven in a fiery chariot. He never died, but shall come back at the end of the world to perform a special mission of God. According to some commentators, this special mission will be to convert the Jews. The prophet Elias is also the one who appeared with Moses and spoke with our Lord at the Transfiguration. Now, in the life of Elias, there was one instance when he destroyed the false prophets of Baal by the hand of God. These false prophets were under the influence of Queen Jezebel, the evil wife of King Ahab. And so when word came to Queen Jezebel that her false prophets had been killed by Elias, she in turn wanted Elias killed. And so Elias fled into the desert for his life. He traveled a day's journey into the desert. And so overcome was he that he fell asleep. He found shade under a tree. And while he slept, an angel of the Lord came to him. And the angel awoke him and said, "Arise and eat." And there Elias found before him a hearth cake, or a loaf of bread, and some water. Elias had been suffering persecution for the sake of God, and so God, in his mercy, provided him with food and water in the desert. And this happened also a second time. Elias again fell asleep, and again an angel awoke him. And sacred scripture says, "He arose and ate and drank, and walked in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto the mount of God, Horeb." And thus this heavenly food sent from God gave Elias remarkable strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, my dear friends, in the gospel for today's Mass, our Lord goes out into the wilderness, and a great multitude followed him. They had seen the miracles our Lord performed, and naturally they wanted to see more. So enamored were they with him that they followed him into the wilderness without even thinking of bringing provisions. According to the Gospels, the number of men was 5,000, not including women and children. It is likely, one commentator says, that at least 10,000 people were present. And thus the sight of these poor people starving in the desert moved the sacred heart of Jesus to have compassion on them. He knew they were hungry, and so he would use this occasion, which from a natural point of view seemed to be a terrible ordeal. Thousands of men, women, and children starving in the wilderness. But our Lord would use this occasion to manifest his divine power and at the same time teach the sublime doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. But first, he would test his apostles. For as the gospel says, our Lord knew what he would do. He asked Philip, one of his apostles, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And Philip, being very practical, told our Lord that there was not enough money to buy bread for all of them. And meanwhile, Andrew had found a boy who had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But he asked, "What are these among so many?" The apostles had looked at the situation from a merely natural point of view. They seemed to have forgotten that our Lord had worked many miracles before. And so our Lord commanded that the people first recline, which was the custom in those days of eating. And then, giving thanks, he distributed the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes to the people. But he multiplied the loaves and fishes so that there was enough to feed that hungry crowd. And not just enough, but more than enough. The people ate as much as they wished, and the apostles had fragments left over, so much so that when they gathered up the fragments, they filled 12 baskets. Now, my dear friends, from this event in the life of our Lord, we can learn many things about him. We learn about the merciful compassion of his Sacred Heart on the starving multitude. We see his divine power in performing this great miracle. And we learn his great wisdom in how he teaches us the great doctrine of the Holy Eucharist. This great miracle our Lord worked was an outpouring of his divine heart on poor and sinful man. In this miracle, we see the goodness of God. And we can also see the goodness of God in the miracle of Elias. God sees man afflicted, struggling, and weighed down with infirmities. And what does he do? He gives provisions to persevere. He does not take away the persecution or the cross, but he gives strength to bear it. My dear friends, the point is this. In these two examples of Elias and the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves, we see how God provides for those who are in distress. In this corrupt and sinful world in which we find ourselves, we are journeying in a certain sense through a desert. There are temptations on all sides. And we are sometimes overwhelmed. Sometimes we become so fatigued as Elias was. And it would seem we have no provisions. It would seem there is no food to find strength to persevere through this desert. But we must remember and never forget that Almighty God will always provide. He will always provide for those who are faithful to him. And the food he provides for us in this age of universal apostasy is his own body and blood, really, truly, and substantially present in the Blessed Sacrament. He provides us with the true bread of life, which gives us supernatural strength to persevere. One commentator says, "Thus we can see in this bread with which Elias was fed a figure of the bread of life which we receive in the Blessed Sacrament, by the strength of which we are to be supported in our journey through the wilderness of this world until we come to the true mountain of God in the eternal bliss of heaven." In other words, as God gave strength to Elias by providing bread from heaven, so he strengthens us by giving us the Holy Eucharist. Our Lord and Savior, the Son of God made man, gives himself to us as food to strengthen us for our journey. And we see this in how the church has named Holy Communion for those who are dying. It is called Holy Viaticum. Viaticum is an ancient term used in the earliest days of the church, and it means provisions or food for our journey. Thus, Holy Communion received before death is the food for that soul in its journey out of this life into eternity. And so, my dear friends, be grateful and appreciate this great gift God has provided for you. Not many people in the world have the privilege you have of the true Catholic faith and true and valid sacraments of the Church. And even some of our own chapels throughout the country, they only have Mass once or twice a month. There is nothing else for them. But God, in His great mercy and goodness, has blessed you with three Masses every Sunday and almost daily Mass throughout the month. Do not take this for granted, but rather take advantage of this great privilege. Come to receive our Savior in Holy Communion as often as you can. Receive Him worthily. Receive Him devoutly. Strive to receive Him on the first Fridays and first Saturdays of the month. And when you do receive Him, as you approach the altar, recollect your minds and prepare your hearts with acts of love. As you kneel there waiting, tell our Lord that you are truly sorry for all of your sins and that you do love Him. And then after you receive Him, thank Him for all the graces He has given you. Thank Him again and again for providing Himself as the true bread of life. Our Lord once said to St. Augustine in Holy Communion, "I am the bread of the strong. Thou wilt not convert me into thee as the food of thy flesh, but thou shalt be converted into me." In other words, when we receive the host, we do not assimilate our Lord, for that would reduce Him to our level. But when we receive Him, we are made more like to Him. And so, my dear friends, if you make the effort and strive to be more faithful and more grateful to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, He will surely inflame your heart with the fire that burns in His most sacred heart. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.